Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Weekend Perspective. I'm Kitty Dunn along with Jonathan Sutton. And today we're going to talk to a local music writer. Actually, he's written about all kinds of pop culture. And you may remember him from his days at the Cap Times and the Wisconsin State Journal. Tom Alicia is joining us. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Now, you wrote a book.
What?
It's called...
He's written a book?
He has.
Okay.
Well, not really. He compiled a book. He wrote the original things that are in the book, but... Anyway, Then Garth Became Elvis, A Country Music Writer's Journey with the Stars, 1985 to 2010. So what's the deal with this book? You just decided to make use of some old interviews?
You know, I was going through a lot of old clips, and this was a few years ago, and I decided to put together just a website. Because right now I am a teaching assistant. I have been for several years, a teaching assistant in English classes in middle school. And I would say something like, you know, somehow Ozzy Osbourne would be brought up. Don't ask me how Ozzy Osbourne would be brought up in a middle school, but somehow his name would come up.
And I feel like you would be the one who brings it up. Like the kids are just trying to learn and there you are. Anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
And I'd say, well, I interviewed Ozzy Osbourne, and somebody would be like, what? Really? You know, and then it would take me, you know, 20 minutes to find the article somewhere online, you know. And I thought, well, let me put this together. Let me put some of the interviews that I have done on there. And then putting it together, one of the things I realized immediately was how much country music I had interviewed and how I had interviewed pretty much everybody in country music in terms of especially of major status between 1985 and 2010. And it kept going. And I thought, there's something here. I was reading enough of them, and the acts that were coming in and the shows that I had seen, I realized I had captured pretty much everybody. I looked, you know, to see had somebody written anything on what is essentially contemporary music at that time and contemporary country music. And there were very few books. And I thought, I think I've got something here. There are enough people. I've got the right people. And I went through a lot of it and it pieced together nicely.
So were you, wait, I'm just trying to picture you going through it. Like, were you heading over to the library and looking through the microfiche? I was like saying
no,
that.
But
do you have them all?
I have every. I collected every article I had, the print copy. I literally had a closet full of just thousands. I'm not kidding. Thousands of newspaper articles from over the years that I had written. And then I also just went back and tried to remember everything. I went through some of the online sites to look through the archives of the State Journal and other papers I had worked at and pieced it all together. When it finally came down, I had probably 300 or 400 different possibilities of things that I could have put in the book. And I literally at one point then just printed out everything, clipped, cut then little sheets of paper for each piece, and covered a floor full of it.
Okay, wait, let's back up for a second, if we can. We're talking to Tom Alicia. The name of the book again, Kitty?
Then Garth Became Elvis, A Country Music Writer's Journey with the Stars.
So when you were saying you kept all the newspaper clippings, that sounds like a fire hazard to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Were they organized?
In folders and things? Yeah, or like in a scrapbook?
You know what? It was a pile. And you know, I mean, they were in boxes in most parts, but we're talking big boxes, and often it overflowed. Yes, and I'm sure if somebody had tossed a match onto it, it would have been a fire hazard.
But so, cleaning out? I mean, going through that.
Yeah.
Seems...
Now there was widowing through some of the. There were certain many stories that I did not need a print copy of.
But were there any that you saw and you were there any that you saw and you didn't remember doing the interview at all?
Oh yeah! Oh my gosh! There was an awful lot of them. You know, I mean, there are certain acts, and that goes with country, but you know, that goes with some other acts too. I had no idea that I had interviewed, and this is a blues act, Clarence Gatemouth Brown. Now, he played at Madison all the time, and I had no idea that I had interviewed him, and I had no idea he had a huge country connection to it, to his career, that he had played on different albums of country. He had done some of the country music himself, and that ended up to land in the book. He was just a great interview, and I have no recollection of that.
So just as you'll forget this one. So did you really scatter out all this stuff on the floor, or are you joking?
Yes, that is absolutely true. I mean, that was the only way. It became so frustrating because I was cutting and pasting, and I'm looking on a screen, and I'm trying to piece together, how can I do this? And I did it with, you know, I started to form a file of people just talking about their big, big hits. I mean, that ranges everything from Lee Greenwood talking about, you know, I'm Proud to Be American, and his major, you know, patriotic song, to some of the other country hits that were major, major hits. Then there was some other ones just talking about being in concert, other people with just really talking about hardships and how they made it. There were some, and then the core of it came down to realizing how much I had had of Garth Brooks. He sort of forms the center of the book. I had seen Garth Brooks before he was, you know, Garth Brooks, you know, I mean, before he had become this sort of iconic figure in country music, in Farm Aid. It was either the third or fourth Farm Aid in Indianapolis, 1990. I was covering it for a news service. I was working in Springfield, Illinois. And I was looking around at backstage for somebody to interview. And here's this husky country singer who had just gotten off the stage and, you know, wide-eyed. And nobody else was talking to him. I went up to him and I just, you know, introduced who I was and just wanted to get a perspective from one of the minor acts that was on the bill. You know, Guns N' Roses was going on just a few times after him, or, you know, a few spots after him. And I ended up talking with him for about 15 minutes. And then I had interviewed him a couple times after that over the next 6 years of that time. And
a little known fact, Tom Alicia and Garth Brooks have remained close ever since. And you FaceTime him regularly,
you know,
right?
What? Contrary to that, you know, boy, he was a lot easier to get in touch with in the early 90s. Because you would think with a book with his name in it would somehow get me in the door. And Garth right now online on his social media has almost 5 million followers. And I thought if I could get a little piece of that, maybe Garth holding the book up. I've tried about everything to get him a copy. And no, you cannot reach Garth now.
He Sorry. Is,
at the time I interviewed him, he was not second to the Beatles in terms of number of albums sold.
Mm-hmm.
But now he is second to the Beatles in number of albums sold. So, you know, he's become a little more popular, I think.
So we're walking through how you made the book. You put everything out on the floor. So then was there an area of the Alicia household where you were like, Don't go down there. There's clips everywhere. Like what?
No, yeah. I mean, you know, the door was shut, so no dogs were going to walk around. We have two dogs, so they were not going to walk around on my little pup. You got to understand, too, the book is filled with tidbits, and it's, you know, they're not very long. They're maybe a paragraph long. In some cases, it would fill up a whole page. So it's not really big ones, but everything was scattered then in little sheets. And by doing that, it really did make a difference. I realized that I had, you know, I'm reading this one of them, and it's from Wynonna Judd. And that was one of them that launched the whole project. And I realized, wow, she was just so honest and so, sincere during the interview, so open that, I realized, you know, that I had that. I don't know if country acts were more than rock acts. I think country acts did more interviews, were more open at that time to talk, certainly just to sell tickets, simply to sell tickets that they were. So it came out that way. There's also it also broadened too. I mean, you know, how to define country music was very difficult because I included a alt country. I included Americana. So in the book, you have John Hiatt, who very much his career was boosted by the fact that several country artists covered a few of his songs and had very big country hits with them. Les Paul, Alison Krauss, Nickel Creek, Steve Earle, Nico Case. I've included all of them.
You even interviewed Boxcar Willie.
Boxcar Willie, yes. Gotta love Boxcar Willie. Boxcar Willie is the what I love about Boxcar Willie most, and I suppose there isn't a lot, but there is some. I think what really jumped out of me about Boxcar Willie was that he claims that God never made an ugly train.
So, I didn't know. Was God? Does God make the trains? I didn't know that.
Boxcar. Now people understand. Boxcar Willie. At one time, he did. He was able to sell 3 million country albums by a TV commercial. You know, I mean, he was one of the first to really jump on. You know, buy a lot of TV time. And people responded. It seems so bizarre now to think of somebody promoting themselves that way, but Boxcar did. There's also a U2 story in here. Now this is true. From 1987, I was at the Hoosier Dome. I went to Indiana University, so this was during while I was in college, and it was U2 had sold out the Hoosier Dome, and the opening acts were Los Lobos and the Bodies. And the Bodines played, and they were terrific. And Los Lobos, though, was not there. Los Lobos was having trouble getting to the Dome Stadium. And it had gone on pretty long. So out came four guys just with long hair that said that they would play country music, and they called themselves the Dalton Brothers. And even with all the cameras on them, it was, and they played three songs, and the crowd started to boo by the second or third song. I mean, it was just not the right thing, but it, of course, it turned out to be U2 themselves. It was, they had put on wigs and they had costumes and everything, and they played three country songs, and they called themselves the Dalton Brothers and introduced themselves and with different names. And nobody in the crowd. A few people, I think, towards the front recognized them, but they were dressed up well enough, you know. And then Los Lobos came on shortly after that. But they went on stage, and they'd only done it two or three times. And the hardest thing in the book was finding a photo of Bono as the with the full wig and the cowboy hat on and even studs on a jacket and everything. But I got one. There was something on YouTube we were able to take a screenshot of.
And by the way, Bono's attorneys are on the other line. So. Anyway, where do we get the book? Where do we get the book, Tom?
Sue me. I could use the publicity.
Yeah.
That would just be great.
We're talking with Tom Alicia. The book is called Then Garth Became Elvis. This would be a good book, I think, to have in the bathroom and read in short little trips to the bathroom. It would be entertaining.
You know, can I quote you on that?
Yes.
And maybe put that in the second edition in terms of one of the accolades.
Yes, but
absolutely.
Don't use her picture or she'll sue you. So if people want to get the book, what's the best way to do it?
Amazon.com has been sensational. I mean, in terms of quick release of the book and getting it there.
I've heard they get things to people quickly. Okay.
They are, you know, I wasn't a big Amazon fan, and I sure have become one. But at the same time, there are also copies available at Leopold's Books in Madison and also the Book Bio in Madison. So.
Awesome.
Okay, those are good places to go as well. Tom, Alicia, good to hear your voice. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you.
For Weekend Perspective, along with Jonathan Sutton, I'm Kitty Dunn.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.